What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 126 of the Massive Breakdown Podcast. We have a fantastic episode for you tonight. We're going to be talking about Bad Juju. We're going to be talking about the Tribute Hall, Season of the Opulence, some upcoming plans and stuff like that. But we're going to keep it simple, keep it short. So let's go ahead and get the introductions out of the way. As always, I'm your host, Mercules, joined tonight by Kit Kutcha. And how are you doing tonight, Kit?
Doing pretty well, man. Can't complain. A lot of good stuff going on in Destiny. I've had so much to do. I've had my hands full trying to tackle these triumphs, and it's been fun. It's kind of been fun having a goal that I'm really motivated to chase down in Destiny again. So I'm enjoying that. How about you?
Yeah, it's about the same. Like you said, there's a ton to do right now. Obviously, I got Bad Juju pretty much as soon as I possibly could, and I have been. I know I'm supposed to be trying to get Lumina, but I have really been devoting a ton of time and effort to finishing up the moments of triumph, or at least I'm trying to get as many of them done as I can.
Yeah.
Because I have gotten the moments of triumph done for every year of Destiny so far, and I don't plan to stop now. So that's a big deal to me. That's something, it's like a little annual tradition of mine. It's an annual tradition, obviously, for the entire community, but in particular, you know, there's not many things that I'm a 100% completionist for, but Moments of Triumph are one of them. So I'm working really, really hard to get all those done. And I'm still trying to play some PvP, trying to test out some weapons. We're going to be moving into the realm of PvE for a very brief period of time here in the near future. But you know, it's just, there's really a lot to do, but first we neglected to do it last week, and I think we really should get to it. But, Bad Juju is in dire need of a review, I believe.
It is. Yeah, it really is. And we kind of teased it last week and just left it at that. But yeah, we can jump right into that. Less than 2 minutes into the episode, we can actually talk about a weapon.
Well, might as well go ahead and get started. I mean, we saved this episode for extraordinarily late at night. I was trying to get some last-minute gaming in and trying to get some stuff set up. And so here we are. So yeah, Bad Juju. It's a kinetic, lightweight pulse rifle. Lightweight, of course, is 450 RPMs. We waited quite a while for some lightweight pulse rifles to come back once Forsaken hit. And then we got Outbreak Perfected and Bad Juju back-to-back, which is pretty nice. It means it does 25 crit damage in PvP, 16 body shot damage. Bad Juju is kind of like the opposite stat-wise of Outbreak Perfected. So they both have, you know, above average reload speed. They both have pretty much average handling. They have average to below average aim assist and good to very good recoil direction. But where they're really polar opposites is Outbreak Perfected has not that great stability at 46. Granted, you know, that's the base stability. When you're actually using the gun, the stability is pretty perfect. And then it's got fine range at 68, whereas Bad Juju does not have great range. The base range is 41, but the base stability is 65. So they kind of just flip-flopped right there. But what it really comes down to in actual gameplay is Bad Juju is just fine as a medium to medium long range pulse rifle. I would not say it is going to compete with Blast Furnace. In fact, I would tell you 100% it is not going to compete with Blast Furnace. But you know, if you're looking for something that does a little bit of what Huckleberry does, maybe a tiny bit better than what Huckleberry does, but you want more range than what an SMG offers, Bad Juju is 100% perfect at that. It does have a really poor mag size of 27, but that would be because of the exotic perk, which more than makes up for the poor mag size.
You might actually say that if you're looking for a better Huckleberry, Bad Juju is your Huckleberry.
Hmm.
I went there.
I almost want to cut that out of the episode because that was so bad. But yes, it is true. I mean, the exotic perk it's kind of sticking with the theme that Bungie has of at first a gun being not that powerful, and then them being like, ah, fuck it, we're just going to go all the way. So when you kill a target with Bad Juju, it reloads the magazine, it starts stacking damage, and it also gives you a little bit of super energy. So it is a very potent, now it's not an overwhelming amount of super energy, it's not an overwhelming amount of damage, and the magazine refill is very, very nice. And what it does is it makes this gun not what I would call top tier, but just exceptionally good all around. I don't think anyone is going to complain about using Bad Juju. I've used it in PvE, I find it phenomenal in PvE, especially for ad clear. Or especially on a build where I want my super back all the time, but I don't necessarily want to devote exotic armor to it. And in PvP, I found it also pretty nice. I'm not going to say it's dominant. It's not going to compete with like Recluse or The Last Word or something like that for top tier. It's probably not even going to compete with Bygones or Blast Furnace for top tier, but it's just really, really nice. And that's probably my overall thoughts on the gun. It's just, it's a nice gun.
I mean, so it's interesting. So I want to jump back real quick to the stats and the kind of the comparison with Outbreak Perfected. When I first started using Bad Juju, for some reason I was like, man, this, I thought this was the same archetype as Outbreak, but it feels really different. Like it felt, especially at range, it you can really tell the difference, I think, at range between it and Outbreak. Like for me, it just felt much less sticky. And then I looked at stats and I was like, oh, it is a lightweight. It just has like, you know, a third less range. So that makes a big difference there in feel. But it's a lot of fun to use once you kind of accept that you're going to have to be a little bit closer than maybe you're used to with pulse rifles. I think a lot of us have been using pulse rifles like scout rifles for a while now. That's kind of the niche that they've filled. They're very good at a distance. They do a lot of damage in a kind of a burst, very easy to one-shot enemies in PvE. And Bad Juju does require you to be a little bit closer than some of the other pulse rifles. You mentioned Blast Furnace. Outbreak, obviously, is the other strong comparison. And you do just, I think you have to be a little closer to use it effectively. So that's just something to note. That said, free super, free reloads, I mean, whatever, can't complain.
It's a great gun. It's like there's a series of weapons, right, that are in the game that are just good all-around weapons. They give multiple benefits. Exotic weapons that give multiple benefits. They're not completely unique archetypes. Yep. In fact, they're not unique archetypes at all. Like, for example, Sweet Business is a completely unique archetype, right? Like, it is its own thing. There is nothing else like Sweet Business. Trace rifles are completely unique archetypes. There's nothing like trace rifles in the game. There's exotics that go in that direction, or there's exotics that just have perks that are so wildly, unbelievably powerful that it blows everything else out of the water, like Darcy, or like Wardcliff Coil, or like Two-Tailed Fox. But then you've got guns like Mida, like Seraph's Regime, like Bad Juju, which are pretty standard archetypes. Mida's a lightweight scout. Seraph's Regime
is... Ace of Spades.
Yeah, Ace of Spades. Like, but they give multiple stacking benefits when you trigger the exotic perk, and it makes them very, very strong. Maybe not necessarily the best gun in class, although Ace of Spades on PC, I believe, is. But it makes them exceptional weapons. Seraph's Regime is a really, really great weapon right now. Ace of Spades, really great weapon right now. Bad Juju, really great weapon. Mida is probably the weakest of those, but let's face it, it's because all scout rifles are bad. If scout rifles were fine, Mida would be the best among the scouts, right?
Yeah.
So there's like a class of weapon like that where they give multiple benefits, and those benefits combine with what is basically just a standard gun with a lot of very small exotic perks in it, and it makes the gun, you know, a pretty great weapon. And that's what Bad Juju is. It fits right into that archetype. Now, generally in the past, those weapons have been more like RNG based weapons, like Hardlight, if Hardlight wasn't terrible, as opposed to class based weapons. But now, you know, we've seen Ace of Spades was quest based, sorry, not class based. Ace of Spades was quest based. Bad Juju is quest based. But usually when an exotic is quest based, it's like totally super overpowered in one way or another. You know, you look at Whisper was like that. You look at Outbreak Perfected was like that. You know, usually when Thunderlord is quest based. So we're kind of starting to see a merging of the dichotomy where RNG based exotic weapons were not necessarily the greatest, but they were very good. And the quest based exotic weapons were absolutely phenomenal. And I think the reason they started to move in that direction was because of Gjallarhorn being RNG in D1. And it basically made it to where the best gun in the game was locked behind luck. And they saw that it isolated a lot of people from gaming experiences that they couldn't have because they didn't have the best weapon in the game. And so they've done a pretty good job now of making it to where the best weapons, the way you get them is deterministic. And that's why none of the raid weapons that we've seen so far have been like must-have in-game content weapons, because they're RNG-based, which is interesting to me.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And honestly, it's something that I'm really happy about. I've really enjoyed all of the exotic quests that have been coming out. Like, it's a lot sometimes to keep up with, especially if you're not able to play every day. But But it's nice to know that any given day I can log in and I can make progress toward getting a great exotic weapon, or at least an interesting exotic weapon. And that that progress isn't just like putting in the reps and hoping that RNG will bless me because I've now, you know, spun out that many more lottery tickets for my Gjallarhorn that I never got until Thursday. But anyway, I'm not bitter. No,
of course not. How could you be? But no. my problem right now with the raid ones is like I would much rather the raid weapons be really powerful and then also have a deterministic way to get them. Like you had to do this quest, kind of like how Acrius was, right? Yeah. Like I would much rather stuff be like that than I would it be the way it is right now, where it's like, yeah, none of the raid weapons are like considered necessary for in-game content, which is good because very few people have them. But also at the same time, like I'm not trying to fucking run 57 Last Wish raids to get 1,000 voices. I'm not interested in that. You know, if you told me you got to run normal once, you got to run hard mode once, if you told me you had to collect every piece of armor and every weapon in there, even because the RNG on that is pretty forgiving. You get a lot of drops. You can collect that stuff pretty quickly. There are a number of ways that could be done other than just, well, you've got what seems to be like a 1 in 50 chance.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not super interested in a 1 in 50 chance.
Yeah, no, I wholeheartedly agreed. And honestly, I understand to an extent why they have moved away over the life of Destiny from raid weapons being OP. I mean, if we look at all the way back Vault of Glass, those guns were the guns that you needed, that you wanted for any given content for a very long time. To the point that they, I mean, you know, some of them became memes. Fatebringer, cough, cough. And that was cool, right? Because it made you want to run the raid, because you knew the weapons were worth it. Even if they were hard to get, they were worth chasing. It's good to a certain extent that they aren't making them, like, unquestionably the best options. I'd still like to see them be strong contenders, at least in certain niches. But like you said, I'd also like them to... I'd also like those kinds of things to be attainable. You know, I really liked in King's Fall, for example, not all of those weapons were great, but the sniper rifle was pretty good. And you knew that you were going to get it, and it was a fixed roll, and you didn't have to worry about it being a piece of crap because you got unlucky that run. You just went and you ran until you got it, and then you had it, and that was it. And that way you knew you could go in maybe 2-3 runs and you'd have what you were after if there was a weapon that was worth chasing. So I like that. I like when the RNG is forgiving, if they're going to use RNG. And 1,000 voices is certainly an example of the misuse of RNG. But that's just to highlight what's great about the Bad Juju quest is anyone can get it, and the quest is actually a ton of fun. I also like that you can just go in and replay that mission, by the way. That's phenomenal. So whoever at Bungie put that in there, thank you, because I absolutely went in and farmed Taken kills when I needed them for a quest or a bounty or something. I was like, oh, where can I go to kill a whole bunch of Taken that I know other people aren't going to be shooting them? Oh, Bad Juju mission. Perfect.
And it's a fun mission. I mean, they put the Triumph in there to solo it flawless, which is definitely something I love challenging content like that. I was talking about this earlier, but my favorite content in early D1 was I would solo the Nightfall back when Icebreaker was a thing. And I would solo the Nightfall. It would take me like an hour and a half to get through it. I would get all the way to the boss room. I would get the boss down to a sliver of health. And then I would go on Reddit/fireteams and I would find two underleveled people who were looking for the Nightfall. And I would invite them in at the boss room and then just kill the boss just so they could get the rewards. In total, the thing used to take me like 2 hours, but I used to love doing that.
Nice.
It was the most enjoyable thing. Back in Halo 3, my favorite thing to do was rerun the campaign missions trying to get high scores. Like, I love that type of content. The Bad Juju mission is like right up my alley. I absolutely had a blast. And I'm going to play it, you know, several more times. It was a good mix of like, it wasn't quite... it's not Shattered Throne, obviously. It's not Shattered Throne. It's not mechanic heavy or mechanic anything at all, really. It's pretty much combat. It's like it's more like Whisper than it is Shattered Throne.
Yeah.
It's combat, but it's soloable, and you can see that light at the end of the tunnel, even as a not necessarily elite PvE player, which is something I very much appreciate, because it makes it seem like, oh, here's a solo flawless challenge that just a pretty good player can do, as opposed to a really good player having to do it. So I really like that. I'm very appreciative of it. I'm looking forward to continuing to play. And really, the whole Tribute Hall is just pretty phenomenal. I don't think we got to talk about it last week, but the Tribute Hall itself is really great.
Yeah. Next on the list, let's talk about the Tribute. Well, I guess we should mention as we segue into the Tribute Hall, in case you missed it, Bungie had a little section in the TWAB this week, A Guardian Always Pays Their Debts. Of course, many of us are undoubtedly familiar with the glitch that allowed people to get bad juju for free by swapping characters. And especially those of us who were not able to take advantage of that glitch and had to mortgage their ship to get a hold of this. I owe Spider a lot of money right now, let's just say that. It was nice. It was nice to know it was there for the rest of you. And I hope you enjoyed it.
Fortunately, I was very wealthy in legendary shards, so I went to the good buddy Spider and paid him about 2,000 legendary shards. Still sitting pretty with about 6,000 left, so I'm not super worried about it. But I had dumped a bunch of legendary shards into it and was able to go out and flat out buy like 20 something of the tributes, like without even having to stress. So I was very happy about that. So I didn't even need to take advantage of it. I didn't care. Honestly, it seemed like more effort to me to switch back and forth characters than it was just to go to Spider and buy a bunch of shit from him. So I did that and got my bad juju. But I'm liking the Tribute Hall a lot. And the Tribute Hall is allowing me to do the next thing that I'm going to do, which is I'm actually going to be making a foray into DPS spreadsheets. It's not something that we've ever done here at Massive Breakdowns before. In fact, we've been very adamant about the fact that we did not want to do it for a number of reasons. I had, much like I hate testing shotguns, I had no interest at all in testing PvE damage numbers. However, the Tribute Hall has made it very, very easy to do that because you can stock up, you can access your vault, you can stock up on any ammo that you want, and then you can pop up little recreations of any enemy and shoot them, and it will show you damage numbers. So I'm in the process of creating a DPS spreadsheet that I hope will be the ultimate DPS tool for anyone who is serious about those things. As anybody who's used the Massive Breakdown spreadsheets knows, they can get pretty intricate. So keep an eye out for that in the next couple of weeks. I don't know how quickly I'm going to get through it. Standard archetypes are very easy, but the exotics are potentially quite difficult. So we're going to have to see how that ends
That's
up
That's not
going.
The language you used before.
There's language that is safer air and there's language that is not.
Yeah, there's a lot of testing that goes into that for sure. But I'm taking a look at the I guess the alpha version is really if even that not even an alpha version, like a mock-up of the alpha version.
Yeah, not even an alpha. I just basically plugged in some numbers so I could show what it was doing. The numbers are certainly wrong. There's a lot of equations that are broken. There's a lot of links that don't work, but the bones are there.
A lot of dividing by zero.
And a lot of dividing by zero. Probably far too much dividing by zero.
But no, it looks good. It looks, if you're familiar with the, as I hope you are if you're listening to this podcast, with the archetype time to kill spreadsheet, it's going to look pretty familiar to you. And it's going to let you, I guess, this is, I think, the most innovative thing about it. I don't know if I should even, should I even talk about this until it's ready?
I don't know. What's I going to do? Steal it? I mean, maybe. But at this point, I don't care, right? Like, people have stolen my ideas in the past and done them before I was able to get mine out, right? And what it ends up coming down to is I still trust that if someone does one with as much detail and does one as well as I'm going to do one, then more fucking power to them, because I will stop doing mine and I will just use theirs. Like, it's not really a competition for me. It's that I believe that the sheets that I make answer more questions than a lot of other people's sheets. And I'm looking to get those questions answered one way or the other. The only reason I'm making this is because I've seen a plethora of DPS sheets out there. Some of them are really exceptional, but they don't answer the questions that I would like answered. And so I'm going to do it myself. You guys know how hesitant I've been to get into PvE stuff. I really wasn't interested in that. But at the same time, every single time I see a DPS sheet, I think to myself, well, it'd be nice if it had this, or it'd be nice if it had that. And so far, none of them have. So I'm just trying to fill in that gap.
And this is something, you know, there was a conversation in Discord about this, and this is something that, I guess I don't know if this is a question that was asked by one of the patrons. I know this is was kind of my comment on, like, the number one thing that I would do if I was going to write this spreadsheet myself, and you had this exact same idea. I think without us even talking about it, because it seems obvious, but it's not actually been done. And that is, what is the duration of your DPS phase? How long do you need to do damage for? Are you going to stand and do damage for 10 seconds, for 20 seconds? Are you going to stand and do damage for 120 seconds? I don't know, you know, how long you're going to sit there and plink away, but that is the question that is important when you're determining which weapon is going to be most useful. Because it's not just about how much damage can you do in 1 second and then run out of ammo. Shotguns are great for that, right? If you need to do damage for 3 seconds and then just you can be out of ammo and whatever, great, use a shotgun, right? I'll answer that question for you right now. But that doesn't help you. If you need to do damage for 10 seconds and then, you know, you need to do damage for 10 more seconds, and you need to have ammo for both of those, the answer is going to be a different weapon. And so that's something that this sheet is going to help you find out. It's going to help you figure out, okay, how long, you plug in, how long is my DPS phase? Okay, well, which weapons are going to do the most damage? And that's what it's going to show you. So it's really, I think, filling, what's the word I'm looking, it's like you said, it's answering a question that I think a lot of people sort of are asking or kind of want to ask, but maybe don't know how to, and that I haven't seen answered. Maybe somebody has and we've just missed it, but I haven't seen anybody who's actually put that together in a way that you can use it for any given scenario. And so that's exciting that we're gonna have that for people. So I'm super psyched about it, man. I'm looking forward to double checking your math.
There's going to be a lot of it, right? Like, some guns I'm going to leave off. Like, quite frankly, I'm not interested in showing the DPS potential of the last word.
Dude!
I don't think that's super necessary. Yeah. But there are a lot of guns out there that deserve to have their DPS shown, and I'm going to do my best. You know, I've already got most of the legendary standard archetypes at least in place, and it's really the exotics that are just going to... Oh, boy. So... yeah, if you guys out there are interested in helping me test, we'll work up a test sheet, and I don't mind crowdsourcing this stuff. I still am a little bit hesitant to crowdsource, because the biggest problem is that I have this like compulsive need to double check. And so what ends up happening when I get crowdsourced stuff is I end up going and checking on my own anyways, because I find it difficult to trust something that I haven't done myself. I've been led astray by testing that was not done correctly that led me to erroneous conclusions until I went back and tested it. But, you know, I'm willing to give it a shot because of how much I don't really enjoy doing PvE testing, and also because of how difficult it can really be. But so if you guys want to help out with that, definitely shoot me a message in Discord, drop me a message on Twitter. Would love to chat with you about what you can do to help the spreadsheet out. Even if the only thing you want to do is really look at the spreadsheet and just double check some of the math or double check some of the formulas or something like that.
Yeah, I think the more feedback, the better with something like this. If there's other stuff that people are looking for in a DPS spreadsheet that they aren't finding, you know, bringing that up while this one's still being built is certainly the time to do it, rather than down the road when it's sort of finalized and a little bit harder to add stuff in. So make sure that you are adding us in Discord or on Twitter about that. And what else do we have tonight? I think we probably ought to talk briefly about Tiltify.
Oh, yeah. I totally forgot we were running that. Yes. I did a little charity stream last weekend on Friday night. I was hoping that I was going to get to do another one. Didn't end up getting the chance next week, and I'm definitely going to make an effort this weekend to rectify that. Yeah, long story short, the Tiltify charity drive for St. Jude's is going pretty well. If you guys have not heard about it, remember that we have a couple of signed canvases, three signed canvases, a Titan Hunter and a Warlock signed by the entire Bungie away team, and also Eris Morn's voice actor Morla, who is a wonderful, wonderful, sweet lady. So if you want to pick up one of those, or if you want to pick up one of two decks of cards that are signed by 52 phenomenal members of the Destiny community, you can also get those. If you would like to see pictures, check out the Twitter. I've got pictures of each of the three canvases. They look really, really cool, if I do say so myself. And I've also got a picture of the deck of cards, so you can see whose signatures you can spot. Like I said, there are some really great people on there. If you retweet the announcement tweet, just a single retweet, you get one entry into the raffle. But then if you want more entries into the raffle, you just got to donate a couple dollars, a dollar here, a dollar there. Every dollar gets you one raffle entry. Every $5, you get a free raffle entry. At $100, I think you get some cool shirts. At $50, you get a mug. At $20, you get some stickers. At $10, we shout you out on air. We are not going to do that this week. We're going to save it up until next week when the Tiltify drive is done, and then we're going to call everybody out, make sure we don't miss anybody. And I am very much looking forward to that. Like I said, I'm going to try to do another charity stream. The last charity stream went off very, very well. I had some different incentives, some stream-only incentives. I think the incentives were if you donate a dollar, you get to pick a gun that I get to use for the next match. You can pick any gun out of collections or out of my current equipment list. So people had some fun changing up my strategies. They thought it was too easy for me to allow me to use fusion rifles, so they made me switch to triple snipers for a game. That did not go well. And then also, if you donated $20, I had to take a shot at 1800 tequila, which was pretty good. I had a $50 one where I would take a dab of some really hot Dattle pepper sauce with the Trinidad Scorpion in it. But nobody donated the $50 during the stream. I was pretty happy to get away without having to do that. So we'll see if we can't do that again this weekend. I believe, Kutch, there may also be a possibility for you to do a stream.
It's something I'm actively looking at my calendar, trying to figure out when I can fit this in. I'm unfortunately hitting some crunch time. This month is kind of going to be crazy for me here. So I'm trying to figure out if I can fit it in within the next week here, because I'm going to be traveling basically 3 consecutive weeks in a row. Probably a total of, like, I think about 16 days that I'll be on the road or in a plane or in a hotel over the next 3 weeks. So it's going to be a little nuts, but I'm trying to make sure that I can set aside some time here for you guys. So I will be dropping some tweets about that and sharing in the Discord as well. So make sure you stay in tune to those channels. Last time I ate a whole bunch of spicy food. I really did not enjoy that part of it, but I did enjoy adding a few $100 to St. Jude, help the kids out. So it was worth scalding my tongue and damaging my esophagus, because we did a little bit more for them. So I'm going to try to probably do a repeat of that here. I might mix up what the challenges are. I'd like to have the option for you guys to buy me a drink as well. But I've got to pick a night that I don't have to be conscious the morning after, and that's my big challenge right now.
Yeah, I was supposed to get up early in the morning following the stream, and I did not. I had an alarm set for 8:30, and that alarm got turned off, and then I woke up on the couch at 10:30. So it was a great night. I had a ton of fun. Some really cool people dropped by. Madison and Vince and my buddy Joel from Bungie all stopped by. We had a ton of people from the Discord that were in there. Van Holden, who actually, funny story about that, I'll say in a minute, but Van Holden swung by originally to kind of, help facilitate the start of things and to provide some really excellent gameplay when my gameplay started to go downhill as the tequila shots hit and as the weapon changes got more drastic. So funny story, someone actually recognized him in the Crucible the other day because they were like, "Oh, I heard your name on the Massive Breakdown podcast. Mercury's mentioned something about you." And Holden was like, "Oh, cool, thank you." So,
There you go.
We got that. We're bringing some people up with us, hopefully.
That's right.
But yeah, it was a really good time. Honestly, really enjoyed it. I'm not really a streamer that much. When I come home from work, the last thing I want to do is, like, show my face to people and entertain. Usually, I just want to sit down on the couch and scream at the TV. And also, I'm insanely salty when I play. Like, probably the saltiest person on earth. And so I really don't want that to be what I'm known for, is just how angry I get when I play Destiny. So I try to avoid that, but I gotta admit, it was honestly really a ton of fun. And if I'd had any spare time at all over the rest of the weekend, I would have tried to do a second one. But I'm definitely gonna, I don't know, maybe Friday, maybe, I guess tomorrow's Friday,
Yeah.
so maybe tomorrow night, maybe Saturday, maybe one of the days during the day. But I really enjoyed the drinking incentives and stuff like that. I thought it led to like a good, a good fun atmosphere. So if we can do something like that again, I absolutely will. If anybody has any incentive suggestions for a stream that aren't, anything too terrible, I'd love to hear them as well. So hit me up on Twitter, hit me up on Discord. You guys are always welcome to share your thoughts.
Yeah, I was considering, and so I'd be curious to hear people's feedback on this. I was considering setting aside the time that I would normally maybe be working out, and just have some incentives. So, say you donate $5, I gotta go and do 5 pull-ups, or that
I
might
have to
get to
do
be a
more than
lot.
five pull-ups for $5.
Oh, dude,
$5 is a lot of money. Five pull-ups isn't that many pull-ups.
how many pull-ups do you think I can do?
I don't know. Probably. Yeah. I mean, you do the salmon ladder thing, so I'd assume more than
Yeah.
five. Yeah. That's why I don't do stuff like that. That's crazy talk. I don't want to be
Yeah.
physically active. I want to drink, And I got a new thing. See, the problem was is that I had 1800 tequila, which I'm not a huge fan of. So probably what I'll do is I'll have some liquor that I am a fan of,
There you
which will
go.
be for like the lower amounts. But my worry was like, if I make it for like $10, I'm going to die of alcohol poisoning. So I had to
Yeah.
make it like a high enough amount. So maybe it'll be like $20 will be a whiskey shot because I do enjoy whiskey. And then, $30 will be a tequila shot because I don't really like tequila that much. So we'll kind of push that one up the list. And every dollar will be like a sip of beer. And that way we can get everybody involved in getting me drunk. So.
I guess next week I'll be recording solo while Mercules is in the hospital, getting his stomach pumped, and or I will not be recording because my arms will fall off from
Oh,
doing
you know
like
what? Next week,
600 pull-ups.
I am actually pretty sure that next week I'm on the Destiny Reset podcast
Hey.
before we record. Although I need to check my calendar for that because I totally don't remember. Yep. 7:25. I will be on the Destiny Reset podcast.
All right.
So keep an eye out for that. I think we're going to be arguing about why raids need matchmaking,
Well, that should be
which is something I've argued
exciting.
about before. Yeah. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'll be looking forward to listening to that one. Okay, well, I think that might bring us to the conclusion of this episode.
Yeah, I'm cool calling it quits for this week. We didn't have a ton to talk about. The Bungie weekly update gave us very little to discuss. I still haven't gotten Lumina, unfortunately, because I've been very lazy and focused on my moments of triumph instead.
Likewise, so
We did, and
no
also
shame.
because of the PvE thing that I'm working on right now, that's taking up a lot of my spare time, and I'm not really at a point where I want to like draw conclusions from it. So I feel bad kind of like leading you guys on and being like, oh, PvE weapon DPS, like we'll get there. Don't worry. As soon as that thing is done, we're gonna talk. And we're gonna talk very heavily about maybe there are some sleeper things. Maybe there aren't. Maybe everybody's already got the best ideas, and it turns out that, Mountaintop and Spike Grenade Swarm of the Raven is in fact the best option, but we're certainly going to see.
Yeah, we'll find out. Well, until then, let's sign this one off. I want to say a quick thank you to Goose and ZenSoCal for their continued sponsorship. Appreciate you guys. And this has been another episode of the Massive Breakdown Podcast. Check us out on Twitter at DestinyMVP, at Mercules904, and at KYT_KUTCHA. That's me, Kit Ketcha, and I'll see you guys next time.
Yep. And remember, guys, if you want to leave an iTunes or Apple Podcast review for us, we will read it out on air. We'll give you a personal thank you. We very much appreciate it. Didn't have any this week, but we're hoping we'll have some next week because I love reading them out and I love saying thank you to you guys. So we'll see you next week. Bye.